When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We begin this morning with the thought leader conversation. Chuck Garcia is here, Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. Chuck, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Lots to cover today. First of all, I want to talk about digital payments, digital options available to customers. Last week on the program, we talked about how we would never, how I would never use Facebook to make a payment to anybody. And guess what? I did it. I did it last night and made a payment to my nieces who are selling something for their school and they live in another city. But it was already digitally tied into my PayPal account, and it was already digitally tied into my sister's checking account. Neither of us had opted into that, and we found it both kind of strange and scary at the same time.
Well, I guess you could look at it as convenient.
It was very convenient.
But yeah, that is a little unusual to me as well. I think most financial institutions that, you know, it's called mainstream banks, if you will, have more of an opt-in where you have to choose to sign up. They also have opt-outs. If they'll say, hey, we've signed you up for this. If you're not interested, opt out. So that's a very unusual thing not to even be aware on either side of that transaction that you were set up for that.
Yeah, it's kind of, it kind of harkens to the what kind of regulations are in place for fintechs and companies like PayPal and Facebook and that kind of stuff. Worth diving into, I think, deeper.
I do too. And in fact, I think it's within the last 3-4 weeks, the regulators have come out saying we need to begin to regulate some of these firms. The difficulty there is they're proliferating so quickly. The technology, which is great, gives avenues for people to spawn off new things right and left. But the regulators have taken notice, especially for the bigger names. There's a lot of, there are hundreds of millions of transactions occurring today. And, you know, while they're low dollar, in total, they aggregate a huge sum. And so I think the regulators have taken notice that this is something they need to be aware of. And situations like you just mentioned, those don't feel right to me.
Yeah, and I just afterwards, I thought of, you know, anybody who picked up my phone could have sent as much money as they wanted to, that I guess PayPal, I don't know if they have a limit or not, but it was kind of scary.
It is, yeah. You know, and I think that harkens to clients setting themselves up for alerts with their banks of, you know, transactions over, you know, you pick the dollar amount or you can set parameters of where money can and can't go. I really encourage people to look at that on their individual accounts.
The reason I bring this up is because I wanted us to talk about a story that the financialbrand.com had about, despite all of these digital options that are coming available, online banking, online fintechs, customers are sticking with their banks.
I think that's very true. I think the issues are multiple there. What people still like the safety of a financial institution. They still like the notion of a bank. So that's number one. The other side is so many transactions are tied up with your existing bank, trying to unwind those. So if you have mortgage, insurance, or car payments that come in and out, it's very difficult to unwind those. So changing banks, number one, is difficult. And I think the crux of it is they like the safety and the security of knowing my money is in an institution that is regulated, but also I know them.
And two, I thought this speaks to banks like Associated Bank's efforts to keep up with the times. I would say that a lot of people's banks have all of these technological options available to them without them having to go somewhere else.
They do. And I, going back again to our earlier piece, it gives people options. If you want to utilize these, they need to be available. Obviously, there's a generational element here that says, hey, I don't write checks. And then there's a generation like myself that we still write checks. Mm-hmm. So having those options available to clients are really important. And I think the evolution of technology will keep moving. And again, as the millennials, the younger generation moves up, checks will become less and less prevalent. And they won't even know how to, a lot of people don't know how to write them today. Right. So yeah. Having those available through your institutions, I think is important. And having those options available to clients is critical.
I don't even have a checkbook anymore. I use the online banking checks,
right,
you know, that are available. Part of the story, I guess this is the area where there could be some room for improvement. The consumers who said that they did use organizations other than their traditional bank did so mostly because they wanted to transfer money quickly from one segment or one source to another. Is this an area that banks need to work on a little bit better?
I think we're a little slow to the game. Mm-hmm. Certainly there are institutions in this space already, and it's rapidly evolving. Yes, the Venmos, things of that nature. Person-to-person type of payments have become very mainstream, you know, and that crosses generation at this point. I think people are much more comfortable today utilizing these avenues, and their banks are beginning to offer them as core of their mobile banking platforms and so forth. We are as well.
Mm-hmm. What are the challenges in developing that sort of technology for a bank like Associated?
Well, the nice part is the technology exists. Integration into your platforms is difficult at points in time because you have your existing platforms to work with. Integrating that in where it feels like a seamless operation for your clients and they don't have to toggle between two different systems or hit different websites, if you will, integrating that is really the key piece and making it feel like it's part of that platform. So the client feels like I'm dealing with Associated, even though I may be using an outside type of firm to move the actual transaction.
It's interesting that this story didn't talk at all about customer service. So I'm guessing that people are getting good customer service right now at their banks that they don't feel like they need to look elsewhere.
I think that's a fair point, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about another part of this technology, cash flow management. We've had this conversation before about how it's important for companies to, especially treasurers at companies, to keep up on the latest technology. First of all, remind us why that's important.
Well, treasury groups today, if you were to look back over history, are so much smaller than they used to be. They used to be really large pieces of an organization, very manual, paper intensive. So people moving paper and information flows were very slow. Today, they're almost instantaneous in terms of knowing where money is moving in, out, transactions arriving. And so the operations themselves are much, much smaller because of technology. And they're much more sophisticated and effective and efficient because of that technology of knowing where my money is, how I can take advantage of the best borrowing terms, the best investing terms. So if I have a position earlier in the day versus at 3 o'clock, I can invest better in the morning and get a better rate, pay down my loan. So the technology of having that information available to you is absolutely critical to organizations, small and large.
Mm-hmm. How important part of the puzzle, part of the discussion is cash flow? Is that like an hourly, daily kind of thing for a treasurer to be
It can be. And I think we've talked a bit in previous sessions about real-time payments, about payments coming in and or out that are effectively real-time. So if you are anticipating a payment coming in and, in fact, it shows up at 10 and you have the ability to do something with that money versus in the past, that was a transaction, perhaps it would show up tomorrow or the next day. Your ability to move money and manage your flows are much, much more efficient. Cards have had a significant impact here. Depending on your industry, cards and the ability to track where those monies are coming in and out of have really made that a much more efficient area as well.
A story I read says that treasurers who fall behind the technology curve can end up costing a company millions of dollars. I mean, so this is there's a high price on this.
No doubt about it. And, you know, part of that, too, is reliance on your bank or your vendors. Your vendors should be part of the education process, too. Clearly, you have to be willing to be open to that dialogue, investment, change. Again, moving paper is very inefficient, you know, where we have means today to make those electronified. So having the knowledge, number one, but also the willingness to change is really, really significant for treasurers.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, but what would be the cutting edge technology in this space right now?
Well, there's a lot of things going on with artificial intelligence. Mm. So whereas in the past, maybe we had Joe as a keyer, he would key information off a check, it would go into an electronic file, you'd get it at your company, okay? So that was fairly effective, but it relied on people, had errors. The artificial intelligence now has the learnings that says, I know this payment, I know that where to look for this information, extracts that information, sends it much more effectively, but almost flawlessly over time. And so that's probably the more cutting edge of what's happening today. A lot of transaction movement much quicker in the United States. I think that's where we talked before. We're a little behind the times versus Europe, mm-hmm. but a lot of that is going to really change the landscape as well.
Can you argue with artificial intelligence if there's a mistake? Is it easy to go back and fix an artificial intelligence?
It really is. Yeah, okay. It really is. It's more difficult to fire somebody for making a lot of errors versus reprogramming and the thinking and the learnings that occur there. It's pretty exciting stuff.
When you fire a robot, they just kind of leave, right? They don't even
or they don't give you a bad look either.
Yeah. Chuck, I want to talk to you about a story that I saw in the New York Times about a growing concern about scams that are happening in banks. This one focused specifically on seniors who had been hit with fraud. One story about a woman who came into the bank almost every week, and all of a sudden there was some kind of change in her behavior that the banker saw and went in and checked on it, and she had somebody had set up some electronic funds withdrawal from her account. It was the highlight of the story about how banks could do or are doing a good enough or not job of helping people with fraud. How's that going?
You know, first is the education, and you're not going to reach everybody via education. So, but trying to educate different areas of the client base, seniors are, it's sad, very susceptible to this. They get an email, they click on a site, and all of a sudden it's a phishing scam, and they're in a situation like this customer probably had. So education is number one, and trying to reach out to people either via inserts in the statement, electronic notifications, talking to people when they actually do come into the branch, which is becoming a smaller and smaller universe. But education is really important to reach out. We have a lot of detection tools that we can say, gosh, this looks unusual for Chuck's account.
Mm-hmm.
Those are important to enable clients that maybe have alerts or we can reach out. Everybody's probably had the credit card alert that came to them that, hey, this looks like an unusual transaction. The same can occur in DDAs and savings accounts. It's a terrible situation. So education is number one, but also there are a lot of tools banks utilize today that wherever clients can avail themselves of that or banks can enable for them, that's a really critical piece.
How is a consumer out of this money when it's discovered that it's missing?
It depends.
Yeah.
It depends. Most cases, if due diligence has taken place and we know it's just a fraud.
Yeah.
Every bank has different policies, but ordinarily they will err on the side of the consumer to make that a better experience for them and not a loss in most cases.
This conversation came up after our last thought leader conversation with electronic payments, these Zelles, and you talked earlier about Venmo.
Yes.
When you send that money on those platforms, it's gone.
It'd be gone.
Yeah. So that's something to keep aware of.
It absolutely is.
All right. Chuck, it's always good chatting with you. How can people get in touch with you if they want to continue this conversation?
Any email to me at charles.garcia@associatedbank.com. I'm really good about answering that. We'll put you in contact with great people and give you terrific advice and hopefully support.
All right. Awesome, Chuck. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Chuck Garcia is the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. Every Thursday we do it here on WGN Radio. On the Opening Bell page, you can follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. And on the WGN Opening Bell page, you can see more of our past conversations and more of them, too, and meet more of the thought leaders at associatedbank.com/thought leadership.